The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. As I was motivating over the hill, I saw Maybelline in a coupe de ville. A Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing out to run my V8 4. A Cadillac doing about 95, moves bumper to bumper, rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do. A Cadillac pulled up to 104, before got a hot and wouldn't do no more. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the wildly popular, the most popular Buccaneer podcast in all of Buccaneer land. I don't know if that's accurate.
No, it's accurate.
Is it?
Yeah.
Super
yeah.
accurate.
No, I just checked.
Did you?
Right.
Checked
when
all
you
the numbers.
Finish, yeah,
good.
Yeah, I ran the numbers.
Good. Ran the numbers. We are officially.
Talked to the analytics department here at One Buck, and that is actually true.
All right. Well, there you go. We got it right from the horse's mouth. Trevor Sikkema. That is Matt Matera, also producing. Along with
Tis the Season,
Taylor Jenkins, and Scott Reynolds, unfortunately, was suspended for this podcast.
Is he still going to do ad reads?
Yes.
So that's his punishment.
Yeah. That's his punishment.
He's still going to do ad reads.
Yeah, he's got to do
the... He's getting
a
lump of coal and suspended from the podcast.
Exactly. Now, we are going to talk about the Buccaneers' upcoming matchup, obviously, with the Colts, talk a little bit about what we've learned from one Buccaneer place this week. But our special guest this week on the podcast is... Raheem Nunez-Rochez.
Nailed it.
Not easy to say. Nacho, as he's known, he was our guest live at Ford's Garage. We actually taped an episode of What's Cooking, which will be out hopefully later today. Had a good time doing that. While we had Nacho there, we had a good interview with him.
It was awesome.
And we're going to be playing that here in just a few minutes. But first of all, we need to talk about our good friends over at Westshore Financial, Chris Garrido. And Westshore Financial, they are the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com and the Pewter Nation podcast. You know, whether it's life insurance, investments, or retirement strategies, Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial is your guy that you should turn to. After just one conversation with Chris, Scott realized he didn't have the right plan together for his financial future. He didn't have enough life insurance to protect his family today. He didn't have enough retirement income for his future. It's never too late to start planning for retirement. Doesn't matter if you're 20 years old, if you're 50 years old, or 71 like Scott. Give Chris Garrido a call, but make that call today. Don't wait. Scott's known Chris for over a decade. He's been friends with Chris even long before he became the official sponsor for the Pewter Nation podcast. Scott, trust him with his retirement. Give him a call today. Make sure and give him a shout. You can do so by calling 813-434-0037. Again, 813-434-0037. Give Chris a call. It's free. There's no obligation. He's not going to twist your arm and try and get some money out of you. And Chris is a good guy who looks at your entire financial situation, including budgets and things like that. So give Chris a call. And we want to thank Westshore Financial for being that official sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Anybody have any money-making schemes they want to not do and call Chris?
I got a couple of high school friends who have been telling me there's some Ponzi schemes to invest in, but...
Yeah.
Really?
Probably would frown
on... I mean, it sounds good. You know, it sounds like, you know, when I make a sale, then he makes exactly as much money as I did, and then also his boss does.
Yeah.
So even though I made the sale for, let's say, $20, somehow...
Yeah.
That's way better.
The guy above me gets $20, and the guy above him gets $20, and the guy above him gets $20.
And here's the great thing about these.
The guy above him gets $60.
Then when you sign up, people, Trevor... When they make sales, you're going to get money for doing nothing.
Yeah, no, it sounds great.
Very, very
easy,
safe, legal way.
My old high school friends are trying to get me to go under them, and I just think it's an everybody wins thing.
That's way better than my plan of coaching 21 games for Florida State.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to do. Mm. Seemed easy enough.
Actually, that seems like a good payday.
That's a hell of a payday. Actually.
But I'll let you guys know how it goes next week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to try to get some extra money for the Christmas season.
I don't know if Chris knows a good attorney, but you might want to call him to see if he can recommend one.
No, I'll see if Chris wants to work under me.
Yeah, no, I
and,
don't.
You know, Pretty see sure. if he wants to make me some money.
Yeah, no, probably not going to do that.
Do you want to be your own boss?
Yeah. Oh, that was it? Sorry.
That's like always the tagline. It's like, you know, do you want the freedom to be your own boss? Just
Work, man.
Yeah. Just buy my my
How would you like to make $1,000 a day sitting at home?
Boy, would I.
Yeah, where, sign me up now.
See, and now I'm going to let you guys know, and then I'll get all of you guys to go under me next
time. I'm ready to do it right now. Actually, you know what? I'm going to call Chris before I do it. I'm going to get Chris's advice.
Matt, you said I'm ready to run through a brick wall.
All right, so I'm gonna call Chris and see if he agrees with that idea. So if you're presented with a Ponzi scheme, call Chris Garrido and he'll give you his advice on if it's a good idea
will.
Or not.
No,
yeah, I'm pretty sure he will smack you upside the head. All right, now we're gonna go live to Ford's Garage. Well, live a couple nights ago.
It was live
with Raheem Nunez Roches, also known as Nacho. If you guys weren't there, which we noticed a lot of you weren't, we had a good crowd, but. A lot of you guys that talk trash about being big Ford's Garage people and how you can slam the nachos, you missed out because it was half-price nachos, guys. Half price.
It's good.
$5 for nachos. And now one person took advantage of the nacho challenge. Did you guys notice that Nacho did not finish his nachos?
Yeah, I saw.
That's
so
tough.
I unfollowed him on Twitter.
Good, have to.
Yeah, I had to.
Set the tone.
That's the deal, guys. Ford's Garage, multiple locations throughout Central Florida. If you go in, order a plate of nachos, finish it in one sitting, send a picture of it to us. We trust you. Don't lie. Don't dump it on the floor and then send a picture of an empty plate. But if you send us a picture of the empty plate, we'll follow you on Twitter. But anyway, let's go now to Raheem Nunez Roches as he talks about the Buccaneers, the 2019 season, and some of his teammates and what he sees in the future.
And we are here live with our special guest, the man himself, the guest of honor, our good friend, Mr. Nacho himself.
Hey, thank you for having
Raheem
me out here.
Nunez Roches.
Yes, sir, correct.
That's a very Alabama name.
Is it?
Far from it. No, sir.
No, it's not? Okay, all right. Well, we'll get into that in a few minutes. And actually, he's going to be part of our What's Cooking segment that will be up also the same day as this podcast this week. But we are live at Ford's Garage here in Brandon, Florida. Hey, first of all, man, thanks for coming out. I know you don't live too far around here. Was this your first time here?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, though.
What did you have, first of all, to eat?
He had the nachos, of course. Are you kidding?
What if he didn't want nacho? What if Nacho doesn't like nachos?
I think we pretty much made him get the nachos. Did we not?
Yes, sir.
That's true. Well, they were
but
half
it
price.
Go hands in hand. I love nachos, but it was phenomenal. The nachos and shrimp, I had it and I loved it.
Now, as a defensive lineman, you're not overly concerned about calories, right? I mean, you have to put a lot in because how many do you lose every day? Like, for instance, in training camp, how many pounds can you lose in a training camp practice in August?
The most I've lost in one practice was 15 pounds.
15 pounds?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I haven't lost 15 pounds in the last 3 years.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
That's funny.
15 pounds, if I'm working out and running, that takes me about 2 months,
right.
three months.
Yeah,
with that sun, that heat, and running like that, it's easy. It's very easy.
And having Todd Bowles as the defensive coordinator, is he very demanding? Talk about Coach Bowles real quick. Tell the fans maybe something that they don't know about Coach Bowles, mm-hmm. or some inside little story you could get away with.
The one thing I can say about Coach Bowles, he's very funny.
Is he?
You may not can look at him and see him as being outgoing and funny, but when he's in our defensive room, he's very funny, very outgoing, very laughing. He seems like a very down-to-earth, humble, and family man.
So right. What you're saying is like the Coach Bowles that we see in the press conferences and that the fans see, it's not really like the full Monty. It's not the full Todd Bowles, right?
Yes, sir, I agree.
Personality, right?
What he gives you is, like I say, he doesn't want to give you too much or not enough. So he's just consistent.
Yeah.
He's very blah with it. But with us, with his family, he's outgoing and loving.
That's cool. Yeah. Yes, I mean, and I got to think that the players just love the guy, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
he
is a player's coach to the nth degree.
Yes, sir. Anything that he can do for us, he will do. And anything that he can tell you to be better, he will tell you. So
one thing I like about you is – you know, you call it like you see it. You know, you're a straight shooter with the media.
Yes,
we appreciate that at PewterReport.com. And that's the Ford's Garage Ugo horn.
Yes.
If you're hearing
if it's
that
your
on the
birthday,
podcast.
They will sound the horn.
Another birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday to you over there. But the thing is, though, is like when you see the secondary grow from a unit that was really getting picked on at the beginning of the season to these guys – putting in the extra time, getting up early, coming in, sitting and meeting with Todd Bowles, that extra time is paying off.
We've seen that these last couple of weeks, haven't we?
Yes, sir. I agree with you. Ty Bowles put it out there, knowing that he's working with a young secondary. They may not, you know how to watch film. They may not know what they need to improve on. So him putting that out there and them being, you know, mature enough to be like, okay, I want to be that pro that he wants, and coming out there and taking that step is showing every day.
Yeah.
It's showing in the game. And just to see where they were and where they're at now is phenomenal.
You know, I was up there at Jacksonville watching you guys with your own Saxonville-type performance.
Yeah.
You guys actually out-sacked the Jaguars, right?
Yes, sir.
Just let's recap that game really quick, because you guys just really from Devin White's interception on just had a stranglehold on the Jaguars, just choking the life out of them in the first half. I think their first three drives ended in takeaways by the Bucs defense.
The biggest thing is we knew we wanted to win the turnover battle.
Yeah.
If we were going to win, we had to beat out 93 and 41, and that's what they do. Strip sacks, that's what we created.
Yeah.
Any way we could, interception sacks, strip sacks, and we were just all over the ball.
Yeah. You've seen Devin White grow from a guy.
Yes, sir.
That came in as a wide-eyed rookie, right? Then he gets hurt, loses some momentum, and you were here last year, too. It's like beat Avea kind of the same way, right?
Yes.
I mean, that injury just kind of set him back. Second half of the season, you know, we saw the Vita Vea that we're seeing now.
Yes.
And I think with Devin White now, we saw a 12-tackle game. We saw two forced fumbles in Seattle. We saw two sacks last week at Atlanta. And then the interception,
scoop and score.
Man, he has been finding his way. And I think the biggest thing with him, confidence.
Yeah.
You know, at first with the injury, it was kind of like, man, I don't know. I'm kind of iffy. But now he's feeling his way. You see him now. He's talking more. He's more vocal.
Yeah.
He's breaking down the locker room.
Right.
You know, to see a young guy like that breaking down the team.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot of upside with that. And he's just feeling it. And with this game, it's a lot of confidence.
Scott talked about Vita Vea. That's a guy that you play beside. Sometimes you come in and fill in for him. You guys have a nice rotation with your defensive tackles, you and Bo Allen and Ndamukong and Vita. But how good – does he even know how good he can be? Because has he even really tapped the potential he has?
No, and I talk to him every day about it. You know, a certain thing that he displays in practice, and I'm like, man, if you just do that in the game every time, there's nobody in the NFL that can block you. And I agree with you when you say that he hasn't tapped into it. Sometimes he looks at himself as if he's my size. If he can only see how big he is compared to the world, then it'll be a whole nother monster.
Yeah. Is he the strongest guy on that defensive line?
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
By far. The strongest, maybe the most mobile at the same time. It's crazy. He's big.
And that's handsome. And Ndamukong Suh's a tough guy.
Yes.
He's a strong cat himself.
Yes, but, you know, Vita has that poly power going for
him.
So, he was born
power,
strong.
Yeah.
So it's just different.
Talk about Ndamukong Suh, a guy that came in, and we're not going to get into the Gerald versus Ndamukong debate because it doesn't matter. The choice has been made. They brought Ndamukong in here. But what has he done for this football team? In a leadership role, in an experience role. Just talk about Ndamukong Suh and the impact he's also made.
The biggest thing with Ndamukong Suh is just him, his presence. You know, coming and bringing that pro feel. Okay, I'm going to come here, I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to show you how to do it.
Right.
You know, he's bringing guys along with him, and I love it. You know, when he's out there, he's going to do his job. He's also going to help you out with it. So being able to communicate with such a pro, knowing where he's going to be on the field so you can get your play in. So I love it. He's a vet. He's a pro. But he also teaches other guys.
Yeah. One of the things that Levante was telling me about Ndamukong was really from the get-go, from training camp, he was willing everybody to say, we're going to shut down the run this year.
Yes.
Like I don't care what happens, we're going to shut the run down. He really took ownership of that dimension for this defense, didn't he?
Yes, sir. And I think we were talking about that earlier. It's all about mindset.
Yeah.
And I loved his mindset when he first came into the building. We're going to be here. They're going to feel our presence. And what you don't know, just ask me, and I'll teach you. And I love it.
Yeah, he's really been a good teammate. He doesn't say a lot to the media, you know. I think he's more reserved publicly. But with you guys, though, he just fits in and – he's been a model teammate. Is that fair to say?
Yes, sir. I can honestly say all the things I heard about him on TV or anything, it doesn't match up to the guy that I met.
It's a little bit of a myth, isn't
it? Yeah, it feels like y'all were telling me a lie. You know, the guy is a high-class citizen.
Yeah.
anything that you can ask for from a teammate, mm-hmm. he's there for you.
Yeah.
You need help with film watching, he's there for you. You need help with knowing why they do stuff schematically, he's there for you. If you want to learn about things outside of football, he's there for you. Yeah. I don't think you can ask for him.
It's interesting, too, because he's making $9 million this year, right?
Same as Nacho.
Yeah. No? You guys are in the same ballpark, right?
No. Yeah. Different accounts is what you're saying.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, he's not flashy when it comes to the stats so much because he does the dirty work in the run game.
Yeah.
But the guy's been a ball magnet this year. Just recovered another fumble in Jacksonville. He's got 2 scooping scores this year, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, he's a ball magnet when the ball's on the ground, you know.
I said, hey, come on, man. How are you going to have more points than some of the guys on offense?
I know, right?
Yeah. He's got more touchdowns than O.J. Howard.
Yeah, that's pretty tough right there. That speaks volumes.
He's got 4 fumble recoveries. Right? 4? Yeah. At Carolina, the 2 scooping scores, the Rams and the Falcons, and then on Sunday, Jacksonville.
4 total, 2 touchdowns. Man, you can't ask for a better season with that.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Now, Nacho, we've got some questions from the fans here.
Uh-oh.
Trevor wanted to ask you a couple things here. Did you want to ask him a couple things?
Oh, well, I just wanted to ask him. I know you're originally from Belize.
Yes, sir.
And so I just kind of wanted to ask you how – a guy from Belize ends up getting into the NFL. How'd you get into football, and what was your football journey to get you to this point?
Well, it started off with a lot of soccer.
I was going to say, were you a soccer guy early on? Because
I had the footwork.
Okay,
you know, but
that
probably
still helps.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. But
Belize is near Pennsylvania, right?
No.
No, I'm for playing city. I'm not real good with geography. No. Tell people where Belize is.
Well, it's actually in Central America. It's not an island. People like to say it's an island, but it's not fully surrounded by a body of water.
Okay.
We're connected to Mexico. So we speak English, but we also speak Creole, Spanish, and Garifuna.
Same as me.
Yeah. So you're bilingual. I love it.
Well, I speak English in Plant City.
That is its own kind of slang.
Yeah,
that really is.
Definitely.
So what you're saying is that if Matt Gay were to go down with an injury, you'd be the first guy to come in to kick field goals? Right? Right? Is that what he's saying?
Is that what
he's
saying?
Oh, yeah, I can kick the ball. Now, going through the uprights will be the problem.
Okay. The accuracy is what you got. Okay, so you said, though, you were into soccer initially. What was the timeline from when you were in Belize to then getting to where you were in Alabama and then getting here?
Well, I came over when I was very young. Mm-hmm. So we moved around a lot between, you know, different states, California, Colorado, Georgia, Mississippi, Kentucky. But as far as, like, when I came here, I was introduced to a couple sports that were a little slower than soccer.
Sure, right.
So when I seen that they actually stopped running in football, I kind of, like, picked that one up pretty fast, you know? So
right.
I was still pretty good in soccer, and baseball was my number one sport.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you play in baseball? What position?
I was a pitcher.
So you pitched?
Yeah, and then first and third was my next thing.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
He's
I loved
an athlete.
It. Oh, yeah.
All
I
right.
Loved it.
Okay.
But there was not a lot of running in baseball neither. So
that's
really, really
why you were into it. Yeah, I'm noticing a theme here, you know what I'm saying? So
that's how I got so strong in those two sports. But it definitely started with soccer, but that kind of like pivot, you know, the other sports.
Sure.
Yeah.
I noticed one thing I noticed about you, not only on the field, like in the preseason when I was watching it, but also in the locker room. You're a guy who's just a fun-loving dude.
Oh,
I see you cutting it up with all kinds of players, whatever. Over the course of your career in the NFL, even if it may not be in the Bucs locker room, who are some guys who you've, you know, like had a connection with in that way? Who are some guys that you've really become good friends with in the league?
I mean, that's hard to say because there's nobody I come encounter with that I can't call, you know, my friend within, you know, just my personality. But guys that I'm really close with, Alan Bailey.
Okay.
From
yeah.
the Chiefs. Another guy that I can say that I'm close with, he's not in the league now, but David King.
Okay.
You know, guys like that. But there's no person, one person I can say that I haven't came in contact with that I can't just call for anything.
Who in the Bucs locker room are you cutting it up with the most?
Oh, man, it's my D-line.
All day, every day.
Back there.
I'm watching you, like, holding shot back there.
Yeah, we'll go and have, you know, sometimes we'll meet up at Vita House and just fish off his dock. You know, it's time. It's nothing like being with my guys. I can cut up with them all day, every day. Sometimes I look at my phone, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Wife is like, where you at? I'm like, I'm still with the guy. She's like, there's no way. But that's us, you know, all day, every day. Just
I love hearing about that side of football. I got to ask, now this may be a no, but are you a prankster at all? Are y'all, like, doing little pranks here and there with
you
any
know
of the
what?
Guys?
It's fun to do pranks, but we're too big and too strong. So, you know, you kind of don't prank guys like that. Something can happen so fast.
I hear you.
And out of control, so we kind of stay away from it. We make a lot of jokes.
Right,
but
right.
The pranks, well, we stay away
you
from.
You guys pick on Mazzy Wilkins sometimes.
Mazzy, yeah.
Mazzy, I'll make him. Every time they're like, what time's our meeting? What time we got? And they make you run over there and look at the screen.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, poor guy.
You got to have fun.
Mazzy's putting in a request to move lockers. Away from the defensive lineman.
Yes,
he's trying to switch to wide receiver so he can get on the other side of the room. You
yeah,
because
his locker's
exactly.
Right across from Carl and
yep.
From Will and from you.
But the thing about
there.
It, when you come all the way down and you get in the back there, we call it D-block.
Yeah.
So you know, sometimes we gotta mess with the rookies. We don't haze or anything, right. But we like to play with them. Like check the time for certain things. Check
the
schedule.
You mentioned Carl. I mean, the dude is. He's certifiable, isn't he?
Yes.
And Carl was crazy.
Carl is capital crazy. Yeah.
He talks to himself, doesn't he?
Carl would shout out anywhere, just anything that's on his mind, punch a door, kick the wall. Like, I'm like, Carl, did you just have another temper tantrum? But then he'll run through a wall, so I let him throw any fit he wanted to.
Right.
You know, so. Love Carl to death, but he's definitely crazy.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a couple questions from our listeners out there and some of the people here in attendance here at Ford's Garage. First question is, Raheem Nunez-Roches, in a steel cage match, who wins amongst the defensive line?
Me.
Just kidding. That's a fake question. But go ahead and answer it anyway. You're going
to
take them all.
Oh, that's definitely going to be me.
Vita Vea?
I have little man syndrome, if you ever notice. I'm the smallest guy in the room.
Yeah, and what do you weigh?
Yeah, I'm weighing 307.
Yeah, that's small.
Tiny. Yeah, but.
little twerp.
Big boys, you got the Bo Allens, the Indomitian Sues, the Vita Veas.
Exactly.
307 ain't those small, so you get in that group.
Exactly.
Seriously, we do have a couple legit questions. Is there a veteran here or in KC that has really impacted you and your game? Now, you talked about friends, Trevor asked about that, but a player that you've kind of took under, maybe a guy that took you under his wing a little bit, kind of helped you learn the ropes of the NFL?
That's a tough question. I could say Alan Bailey took me under his wing. You know, he taught me how to be a pro.
Right.
I can also say Tom Ali and Justin Houston sat me down and taught me how to be a pro
right.
And how to think like a pass rusher. But I think the best thing, you know, for me is that I was able to be around those guys
yeah.
And just naturally just feed off of them, just naturally take what they do best and try to, you know, emulate it in my game.
Now, you mentioned being a pro. Is that the difference between talented guys who come into the league who are successful and not successful? There's a learning curve, and when they buy in to doing the right things on a daily basis, that's what makes them go from just being a good athlete to a great football player, right?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you 100%. That's why sometimes you see your undrafted guys thrive
yeah.
For such a long time. They understand, you know, how important it is. Some guys that come in, you know, whether they're top picks, and they don't really pan out because they don't understand how important it is to transition to being a pro. Sometimes they take it as a side job, or this is just what I do, until they're on the other side, until they've been waived, or until things are not going their way, and then they're not understanding what's going on, and it's too late.
Sure.
You
yeah.
know?
Well, really to that point, too, I wanted to ask you, what was the reaction like when Vernon Hargraves was released? That was an interesting move right in the middle of the season.
The crazy thing was how it happened and when it happened.
Yeah.
You know, the way things were going, if we want to be honest with you, you kind of seen it coming.
You saw it coming?
But to have it happen after the trade deadline when he was, you know, he was still a great player. Just maybe he wasn't the man-to-man player.
Right.
But just to cut your waves with him, and he was a top pick for it was kind of like mind-boggling.
Did that kind of put you guys on notice? I mean, I don't want to say on notice a little bit, but that had to have gotten – the attention of guys in the locker room, that if a first-round draft pick
they
can cut you in the middle of the year, we better be paying attention, doing all of the right things, right?
I think it was one of the best moves for the organization, just for a lot of guys that come here, you know, being so high,
right.
Highly drafted. You're not you're not guaranteed to anything.
Yeah. You know, you're one of 53.
Exactly. Right. And for them to actually wake up and realize that, man, this is surreal.
Right.
It can happen to me. I could be that next guy. It was a wake-up call. It was a great wake-up call for the young guys. And look how they're playing now. You know what I'm saying? So I love it. I think it was great timing. It wasn't too late. It wasn't too soon. And I just feel like just keep moving on in the right direction.
Very good.
All right, and I got another question for you from a fan. So how do the coaches come up with, or what really goes into the D-line rotations? And I know you love all your guys. You've said that plenty tonight. But are there any guys that when you line up to them, you're like, you line up next to them, it's, we're going to ride. We're about to go.
To be honest with you, that's why we work so hard throughout the week. You got to know who you're rushing with and when you're rushing with them. You know, there's certain things that I do with JPP that I wouldn't do with Shaq.
Okay,
there's certain
yeah.
things that I do with Shaq that I wouldn't do with Carl. You're just dealing with different rushers. So to get that trust throughout the beginning of the season, it doesn't mean that when I see Carl that I'm not thinking we're going to get home. Oh, we're going to get home. It's just going to be in a different way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
you attack things differently with the guys around
exactly,
you, the personnel.
Knowing your personnel. I think Todd does a great job with that, just knowing who he has and putting them in the best position to be successful.
That's the key.
Yes, sir.
That's as much as having the talent as knowing what to do with them, right?
Yes, sir.
So Jason Pierre-Paul, when he comes back, and you played with JPP last
Ooh,
year.
Yes, Lord.
Right. And I'm not knocking Carl at all. I think Carl really stepped up in his absence.
Yes.
And I think you guys were wise to give him the C on his chest. But if yeah. I'm speaking frankly, I think if JPP is there the whole offseason, I think he has a C on his chest.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not instead of Carl, but he has one himself.
Yes.
He has just injected life into not just the defense, but the team, hasn't he, with his return.
Naturally, he's a leader.
Right.
Naturally, he's always coming to work with the mindset, I'm going to get better. With the mindset, I have energy. And with his energy, he's going to feed off us. You know, he's going to let it fall on the other people. I'm not going to let you be down. If you make a mistake, he's going to tell you about it, but then also pick you up. He's a captain. He's a leader, but he's a leader by what he does. You know, he's not just talking. So I agree with you. If he was here the whole year, maybe it would have been different. But it's also good to have Carl where he's at because he's a young guy. He can be a leader, and he has everything to, you know, to be the leader. But JPP is JPP. You can't knock that. You know, you can't knock a guy that loves football through and through, and that's what you get every time you see JPP on the field.
I wanted to ask you about Shaq Barrett. You know, I know it's your first year with him, with it being his first year with the Bucs. Crazy amount of production this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
A ton of sacks. It's kind of crazy how it happened. He blew up at the beginning of the year. Now, this is the part I want to ask you about. He blew up at the beginning of the year, had those 9 sacks at the beginning. But then it was kind of like Arian said, like, the league knows who he is now, right? I mean, he's getting the doubles and everything. Now these last couple weeks, it seems like he's taken that next step of knowing what it's like, that offenses are really paying attention to him. So just for a guy that's been racking up so much production that might cash in a real big check this offseason, what has Shaq Barrett been like behind the scenes, like how he's been working, how he handled all those sacks early on to make sure it wasn't just a fluke kind of a thing, to make sure he was still getting production as the year went on?
To be honest with you, for a guy that's leading the NFL in sacks, he's very humble. He always has his ear open to any way that he can be better. You know, a certain thing he knows that he does good, but a certain thing that he also lacks in. And wherever he can get something in, he'll find a way to improve. Like, I know it's a couple times in the game where I tell him, like, you know, Shaq, you right there. You really right there. If you flip your hips, you know, and quit letting them take you up the field, you can secure the sack. And I'd be dang if he'll flip it around the third quarter and close out with a sack and a half.
Or so he's going to owe you some money on that next contract, right?
Nah, it's one of those things. I always, if I can help my guys, I'm going to help.
Something.
Exactly.
Sure. Because at the end of the day, it benefits all you guys.
Exactly.
With him being successful, that's going to benefit all you guys.
And I think that comes back with Shaq and his being able to find his niche with JPP and Carl being healthy again. It's not just all the focus on him. You know, you can kind of spread the field out more. If we double up Shaq, we're going to let JPP go. We double up JPP, we're going to let Shaq go.
And so JPP's getting home and Carl's getting home and it's all working that way.
Exactly. So it's a great thing to have so many great rushers.
Yeah. So, I mean, back-to-back wins, it's not far-fetched. You guys are really on a roll now that we get 3 in a row.
Ooh.
Seeing you guys. Now, here's the thing, right? The fans have seen, like, those stellar performances in Los Angeles, in Atlanta, in Jacksonville. It's time it happens in Tampa, right?
Exactly. We got to stack them. We've been moving around this year with a crazy schedule. But
it's time to do this at home on Sunday against the Colts at Ray J.
Ain't nothing like doing that at home.
Well, man, we certainly appreciate you joining us today for this podcast. I think the fans got a little bit of behind the scene, pull the curtain back a little bit. And I think that's what people like to hear. It's interesting to us, so I think it'll be interesting to the fans as well, man. We appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thanks,
on a good year.
Thank you.
Continued success this year. And like you say, man, go win some more games, because it really makes our job a lot easier when you guys win. If you could just do it for us. Not even for anybody, just for us.
Just for media. Us.
I feel like everybody's life easier when we win.
Appreciate it very much. Raheem Nunez-Rochez, Nacho. Our guest here live from Ford's Garage.
Good stuff from Raheem Nunez-Rochez, number 56 for the Buccaneers.
He was great.
Yeah,
he was awesome.
Yeah, he is awesome.
Yeah, he was a good guy. And I'm telling you guys, What's Cooking is going to be one of the best episodes ever. We had a good time filming that one. That'll be coming out later on Wednesday or early Thursday morning, so be on the lookout for that. All right, so Buccaneers, Colts this week. Buccaneers, 3 out of 4 wins. Dominating performance against Jacksonville. You guys wrapped that up real well up in Jacksonville. But looking ahead to this Colts game, you know, we're going to give our predictions here pretty soon. Scott's actually given me his score already, even though he's on suspension. I allowed him to text me just this amount, you know, just so he could give me his prediction. But looking ahead to this game, what scares you and what makes you confident that the Buccaneers can win this football game?
What scares me is just the coaching staff. I think Frank Reich is a hell of a coach. And I think that's what honestly scares me the most, because Colts are a very beat-up team. And I think also the fact that you're looking at a guy who is a really good head coach in this league, who has done a lot with a little during his time there. And this is basically a playoff game for the Colts. They probably can't get in if they lose this game. So
same for the Bucs.
Well, I mean, very true. I mean, the Bucs, their playoff chances are less than 1%. But so you're saying there's a chance. This is kind of it for the Colts. So we're going to get nothing held back. We're going to get the best out of this coaching staff. They're going to throw everything they can, because it's a one-game season at this point. It's a one-game season for a lot of teams. Indianapolis is one of them. That's what would scare me the most, is I know how good of a coach he is, how well Reich, not only as a player, but also now as a coach, has performed when his back is against the wall, when he really needs a win. It's just kind of been who he is throughout his entire football career. But the thing that gives me hope in this game is the fact that a lot of key Indianapolis Colts players might not play. Marlon Mack's practicing, I think, for the first time
in a while.
I think he was limited. Obviously, this would be a homecoming for Marlon Mack, play running back at USF. You know he really wants to play in this game.
Yeah.
Well, I think he ultimately will play. I don't know how healthy he'll be, just because I know that that's the fact of he wants to be on that field. So I think that Marlon Mack is honestly going to suit up no matter what.
Whether he should.
I have no idea how much percent Marlon Mack we're getting in this game.
Well, if you're calling this a playoff game for the Colts, then he absolutely plays.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
you got to. I mean, you know, this isn't week three where you can sit out another week.
Yeah, that's and that's extra incentive too. And then the other guy, the big one, wide receiver T.Y. Hilton. Okay, he is currently on the longest.
Can we just call him Ty Hilton?
No,
but that's T.Y.
I know, but like I don't think of Ty when
Ty.
Be a good sponsorship.
Tide Pod.
I think about
Tide Pod, but it's with a Y.
Like coconut rice and
Typhoon
stuff.
Lagoon?
I haven't had lunch. I'd die for some Tide Pods right now.
You'd eat Tide Pods?
Yeah, that was all the wave for a while. All the cool kids were doing it.
God, a lot of stuff's making more and more sense as Chris speaks.
No. I ate paint when I was a kid. That makes sense. But like the Tide Pods, they're fine.
It was like the Chris Farley thing. What is it like? Did you eat paint chips as a kid?
Yeah.
Why?
Who didn't?
Yeah, basically. All right, so Ty Hilton. Currently on, I believe it's the longest streak of him being out with injury in his football career, like going back to high school. He has not missed this much time. I think it's a calf injury, I believe is exactly what it is with him. He's trying to play this week. Obviously, he wants to play this week. You talked right there. If it's a playoff game for the Colts, he wants to be out there for them. The Colts are 1-8 since 2012 without T.Y. Hilton, and that's with a lot better teams around them. So this is basically saying, like, if this guy doesn't play, they don't have much else.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have Andrew Luck as their quarterback, right? Devin Funchess went down earlier in the year. Eric Ebron's already been down. Like, all of these guys have been down for the Colts this season. They don't have Andrew Luck. They might not have a fully healthy Marlon Mack. If they don't have T.Y. Hilton at 100% even, you're asking Jacoby Brissett to punch above his weight class, if you will. In
former
terms
Gator
of
great.
What, indeed he is.
Yes.
Will Muschamp picked Jeff Driskel over him, and
worked out well.
You know, we don't really forgive him for it, but yeah. So it's just those are the things that if you're a Bucs fan looking at this game and you're enjoying this win streak, this is what could get them that fourth one in a row. Is that some really good players are not going to be out there for Indianapolis?
So you're saying that the Buccaneers aren't good enough to beat them if they're at full strength?
No,
or we don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, if Hilton plays and Marlon plays, then. Well, they're still not at full strength. As you mentioned, there's some other guys that are just done for the year.
I think both of them are going to play. Yeah. We're doing this podcast on, what day is it today?
Wednesday.
Thursday.
This is Thursday.
Wow, sure. I am a day behind.
Yeah, I was too. It's
I
okay.
swear
they
I thought
laid a dollar
Wednesday.
Short. Shout out Chris Garrido. Yeah, so I actually think that both of them are going to play. The Bucs certainly need to be planning on both of these guys playing. But yeah. if they do, I don't know how effective they're going to be. So... yeah, I think the Bucs have a good chance to win this game.
Wait a second. Guys, you didn't even throw me a bone with a segue.
Well, speaking of throwing things, I'd rather throw a line than a bone.
Well, I wasn't going to go there. I was actually going to go with my bookie. But you tried.
That still works. A line on a game?
Yeah, okay, I guess so. But I think I know what he meant.
Listen, at the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, watch some football, right? Game-winning touchdowns, two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines. No one's going to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. Do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book, and don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play. It's where you should, too, although I do mind playing on Saturday now. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with mybookie.ag if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this season, bet with mybookie. Enter the promo code PEWTER to activate this special offer. That's promo code PEWTER. They're going to double your money. Your first deposit. That's at mybookie.ag and a promo code PEWTER. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right. It is prediction time again, guys. I won last week. Did we all pick the Buccaneers?
Did anybody pick the Jags?
Damn it. How am I going to?
It was a clean sweep.
How am I going to catch up to any of you guys?
Jags suck.
Yeah, they were bad.
They suck.
If my predictions were in the NFL, I'd be shooting for like a top five pick right now.
Imagine.
Miles Jack goes on the IR today. I don't know if you guys saw that. He's done for the year. That just another blow to that bad football team.
No, yeah. It's a good for him. He doesn't have to play for that team anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, the Jags.
That's what AJ,
draft
dude, that's what AJ Green's doing in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
AJ Green's been healthy for like a month. You can't tell me he hasn't been. But he went to the coaching staff. He's like, I'm not playing for this team.
Right.
No way. He's like, AJ Green is basically saying, if you want me to be back here in Cincinnati without holding out and demanding a trade, do not make me play this year. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, all right, fine.
Yeah
he gets injured enough. Yeah, so when he comes back for game. Four terrible games and gets injured?
No, hell no. Yeah no way. AJ Green's basically taking the year off. He get paid for it.
Well, that's what I'm going to do.
I wish.
Probably not.
That'll go over.
Probably won't get paid.
Yeah.
Scott will let me take the year off. He just won't pay me at all.
Yeah, it's called getting fired.
Well, he's suspended right now, so I guess I'll give myself the year off. Yeah. And I'll pay myself.
All right,
myself.
So who? Anybody taking Indy? What did Scott pick?
Scott picked the Buccaneers, and yes. He picked them by a score of, let me pull out this phone here, the phone. Scott selected the Buccaneers to win by a score of 33-16.
33?
Yeah. Yeah, he thinks they're going to really roll up the yardage.
I don't think it's going to be that much.
It should be.
Maybe it will.
Could be. It doesn't matter.
This team is really on a roll.
Yeah.
They could hit 33.
Let me ask you guys a couple questions.
No.
Great.
Are the Bucs better?
Back to you.
Do you think the Bucs are better than the Steelers?
No. Yes. Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't think they win in Pittsburgh.
Steelers with Duck Hodges, you don't think the Bucs are better than them? If they went head to head?
You mean Devlin or Doug Hodges?
Duck. Devlin Duck Hodges.
Oh, Duck. Okay.
Yeah, his nickname is Duck.
I get it.
Early November, Steelers beat the Colts by 2. Do you think the Bucs are better than the Dolphins?
Yes.
No.
No?
Christ.
No. Did y'all not watch the game last week? No.
That joint practice.
Dolphins beat the Colts mid-November. Do you think the Bucs are on par with the Titans? Lost by one score?
Shut up.
We already know.
Shut
Titans
up.
Beat the Colts by two scores.
Get out of here.
Bucs
cut
win.
His mic off.
Bucs
for
win
27-20.
Just rip it out. All right, you make some good points. So then tell me what your prediction is there, Riz.
I said Bucs 27-20.
Well, that's a good score. I'm going to say 24-17 Bucs. Bucs win.
Matt?
28-24 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Third straight victory.
We're all
homers.
We want so badly to this team to not suck that the second we have some daylight, we just drop kick that door straight open and all just start picking
well,
the Buccaneers.
A few weeks ago, it was like, this team's never going to win again.
I'm never picking this
no
team
chance.
Ever again.
So now you can't not
like,
pick
all right,
them.
Second week in a row, I'm like, all right, third week, all right, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Well, Bruce Arians always talks about riding the hot hand with the running back game, which is why Peyton Barber got most of the carries last week. You could do the same right now with the Bucs and the Colts. The Bucs have won two in a row. They've won three out of their last four. The Colts have lost four out of the last five.
They're reeling.
I talk my hands all the time.
I see
it's
that, but you're
habit.
Not. You're on. He's not Italian.
I do that all the time. Yeah,
Matera's
what
not Italian.
He's not Italian.
That's clearly
he's
Italian.
He's a Mets fan.
Oh, I have no idea. He's from New York. He has to be Italian. Everybody from New York's Italian.
He's Italian.
What's the matter with you?
Oh,
Matera.
Oh,
Italian
Joe Rogan
name.
Over here running a podcast.
Oh, I look at you more like Dice Clay. But anyway,
I don't know who that is.
Is that near where
Great
you're from?
At the end of Entourage. He had a good run.
Yeah. Excellent in A Star Is Born.
I haven't seen it yet.
What?
What?
I'm what?
On it.
What?
Oh, when he sees it, he's going to be the guy that posts, what an incredible movie. Why didn't somebody tell me what was going to happen at the end? Somebody actually posted that. And I was like, really? How do you not know? It's been a year. How has no one spoiled the ending of that movie for you? Here's a little bit of a, yes, Titanic, the boat sinks, Taylor. Okay, well, I'm just letting you know.
Jack could have fit on the door, changed my mind.
There's no
Rose killed Jack.
It's murderer.
She is.
All right.
Selfish murderer.
So you're picking who? I already forgot. What did
He's
you
picking
pick?
The Bucks.
I'm so 24. Distracted by your hands.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks. I'm riding the hot hand because they've won three out of their last four, and the Colts have lost
tell
four
me, tell
out
me
of
catch
their
these
last
hands.
Five.
What
go
was
ahead,
your score?
You there you go. See, there you go.
28-24.
Okay, 28-24. Scott had 33-16. You guys did yours. I'm going to say Buccaneers by a score of 114-2. You're going to give up a safety at the end, just run out of the back of the end zone with a punt.
Nice.
Or Dan Orlovsky. Ouch, man, I got beat up about that. But we'll
you did?
Oh, geez, you didn't see my – you so haven't followed
saw,
me on Twitter.
I saw you call him out. Did he, well, did he respond to you?
Oh, yeah.
Because he does.
Oh, yeah, he blasted.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
He
oh,
does.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. It was a stupid tweet by me. I was arguing with someone else on Twitter and happened to be watching him on TV, and then he goes off about, you know, there's no way the Buccaneers can bring Jameis Winston back.
The
fact that
clip.
He said that there's no way, I'm like, okay, he should have said that if I'm Bruce Arians, I'm not bringing him back.
Yeah.
But he's saying it like matter of fact, like, oh, there's no way this organization could do it. Well, first of all, they don't know what they're going to do yet, right? I mean, Bruce talked about it on Wednesday that they're going to, you know, let him play the rest of the season, add it all up and see where he is. So, anyway, all right, enough of that. If you want to follow that debacle on Twitter, go ahead. I took some shots at Dan, which was unnecessary.
You took shots beyond the first one?
No, I just said, you know.
He was a quarterback for the 0-16 team.
Yeah,
I mean,
he stepped
facts.
Out of the back of the end zone.
I mean, these are facts.
And he said, okay, he literally tweeted back immediately. He's like, okay, you can take those shots. That's your right. And then he went on about why he thinks Winston is awful, which is fine. That's his opinion. I understand it. Anyway.
Hey, listen. All content is good content.
Good Lord, my phone. Luckily, I don't have it set up where it
all
beeps
pub
when there's
is
notifications.
Good pub.
But every time I looked at Twitter, it was the 20 plus down there. I was like, oh Lord. And 99% of them was, you know, the one big, I'm not going to give him any props on the thing, but the one big Jameis fan that's out there.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. He got in. He started arguing with everybody. And of course I was included in it.
Oh, so you had Jameis 101 on your side.
Easy. We weren't gonna mention the name, but
imagine Jameis 101 like at a bar.
Everybody knows who he is.
Like him at a bar when he's sitting there.
People thought he was Jason Light for a while.
That's true. That's true.
There ain't no hiding.
I just imagine like Jameis 101 one day is like out at a bar, the Bucs game's playing, Jameis throws a pick and someone behind him's like, God, this guy sucks. And he just turns around after about four
hands
beers
him his book.
And just he's like, you know what, I've written 400 pages with 820 citations right. of why you are wrong.
Yeah, I turned into a little jerkwad yesterday. I'm not normally like that. I mean, I'm a sarcastic jerk sometimes, but I shouldn't have really taken those shots at Dan. Dan was a quarterback here in 2013, I think. Yeah. Shannon's last year.
Yeah.
And or maybe his first year, I don't know. But Dan was a good guy. I enjoyed talking to him. He was a really smart guy. And I enjoy watching him on TV for the most part. I just didn't really like that hot take.
You forget sometimes that when you clap at these guys, mm-hmm. they can clap back at you.
Yeah.
I learned that early on in my Twitter career when right. I was just like somebody with sure. like 800 followers. A couple of times I'd go after like SportsCenter people right. and they'd put me on blast and I'd be like, oh God.
That happened to someone from NFL Network earlier
I'm
in the year.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
So.
But to your point, Mark, Dan Orlovsky in his Twitter bio does have end zone should be 11 yards.
Yes.
About
yeah. I didn't say anything was inaccurate there. I probably, my point was.
You know what we should do? We should get him on the pod.
Yeah.
We should get him on the pod.
Speak your mind.
Yeah, speak your mind. We'll just put him on. No, I'm not going to debate.
No, we just want to have him on the
you know, again, it's fine if he has that opinion. I just, the way that he phrased it, I just kind of was kind of crappy.
No,
yeah.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Come on now. Anyway, all right, so you can follow that on Twitter if anybody's interested. Mark Cook, 1970. I don't know if you guys know what that means.
That's the last time the Bucks had a double-digit sack.
There you go. 1970, yeah. Exactly. Bubba Smith. All right. Did I give my prediction? Yes, I did give my prediction.
Yeah, you said 114-2.
Yeah, but it's not really going to be 114-2. I'm going to take the Buccaneers 30-20, a 10-point victory for the Buccaneers here at home. They need to win at home, guys.
That's
They've had one win at home this year. You know, these guys, the 35,000 faithful that wear their gear and their mm-hmm. face makeup and their, you know, Barrett Rood jerseys we still see out there occasionally. We do. When you look down, there's some odd jerseys still out there. But
Joe Jaravicious, so many of them every week.
Every week. They deserve to see this team win. They have put up with so much crap.
Sure.
And listen, if this team wants to get on a roll, and I was on a podcast with the Pewtercast this week. Look, I don't know if this is the 96 Buccaneer football team. But I don't know if this is the 1996 Buccaneer football team where Tony Dungy's team started off 1-8 and finished 6-10, then went to the playoffs the next year. But if they want to be that team, these are the kind of wins they need to get. I don't know that they're going to beat the Texans. They should beat the Falcons. But if they can get to 7-9 or 8-8 to finish this football season, I think that's going to go a long way in helping them build some momentum from the fan base heading into 2020, where they could actually win the Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah. All right, anyway, for Scott Reynolds, for Matthew Matera, for the Grizz, for Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Cook, saying we will see you Sunday with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out. Peace out.
Bobo out. 72HourPrint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72HourPrint.com. That's 72HRPrint.com.